Welcome to Grace. I'm Stephen Wycliffe, the missions pastor. If you're a guest with us today, we want you to know that today will look a bit different. We're going to spend our time together learning about and praying for the International Persecuted Church. Around the world, Christ followers face punishment for following Jesus. We want to make you aware of international persecution and unite in prayer for these Christ followers. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." It goes on to say, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need." We often think of ourselves as the ones who have something to share with those who are persecuted. But perhaps it is we, the Western Christian Church, who can learn from the ability of our brothers and sisters to find Jesus, the hope for the world, in the midst of isolating and difficult circumstances. May Jesus open our hearts to learn from and pray for them. This morning we have the privilege of being led in worship by Amy Williams. The Williams family are Grace missionaries serving in Italy. They've been finding creative ways to engage the people of their city with the gospel during COVID restrictions. Amy, thank you for leading us in worship today.
Ciao from Italy. We're so thrilled to be with you today, and I just want to thank you guys as a church for allowing us to come into your homes today and be a part of this very special service for the persecuted church. The place that I am bringing you today is my friend Sue's home. We're recording today in her home because of the rainy day, but look at this beauty. It's such a beautiful place to be, and I'm hoping that it blesses your heart today. I just want to share a little bit of my heart with you of what God has been doing in my life over the last few weeks. Recently, Doug and I, as we've been studying together and studying with our coworkers here in Italy, we've been going through the book of Numbers and talking about the priorities of our hearts. And I want to read a passage to you today from Numbers 11, verse 4. And it says, "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna.'" Those are powerful words. Do any of us remember how it used to be? How things used to be for us? How many times have we used that phrase over the course of the last year? It didn't used to be this way. This is what I used to be able to do all the time. And I'm just so tired of how it is every day. It's the same situation every day. All I hear about is COVID, or all I hear about is something bad or negative going on in the world or politics. And we just have this situation where we're just in a bit of a desert. We're in a bit of an exile in our hearts and in our spirits, and we just feel dry. We feel so dry. And that's really what I've been struggling with. The question that my heart has been trying to answer for the past few months is, what is my manna and what is my meat? What are those things that God is giving me to sustain me and to hold me up and carry me through a hard day? And what are those things that I keep begging God for, that I just keep asking Him for, that my heart seems to crave, that my mouth just seems to salivate for? I just want that meat, that something more that I can't seem to have right now. That could be something simple for you and your family. My child didn't get to have a birthday party this week. I don't get to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas with my family this year because things are different. Whatever that thing is that you're just wanting, that desire of your heart. And I feel like I'm a bit like those Israelites wandering in the exile. But I am truly, truly looking for beauty in the exile right now. Beauty in the desert. And I know that every day when I wake up, I want to be that person who thanks God for the manna that He's given me today, instead of demanding the meat from Him, instead of demanding or defining to Him what I need. So I just hope we can join together today in heart and spirit and thank God for the manna in our lives.
Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are.
I would not say that I chose God or I decided to follow God, but I would rather say God chose me and made me follow Him. In the year when I was 16 years old, I happened to attend a youth conference. And I just went to attend the youth conference, you know, to have fun. I was standing at the back, and the preacher tells my name from the podium. Rajesh, the Lord is calling you. You are wearing red shirt. You are here in this campus. Come front. But I was so scared because I hadn't had any experience before like that. I used to go to church, but if you ask me to stand in, I would never go front. And he called me by name. He prayed for me. I felt the very presence of Holy Spirit in my life. I was shaken within. I can't explain that experience that I went through. The experience of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's so powerful. I was born into a Christian family, but had no experience of persecution myself. The kind of persecution that Christians face in India is first was the physical assault. They are mostly beaten, manhandled, and physically they are being tortured. The very first incident that I went to visit, I went to visit the pastor. He was badly beaten by the goons and the fanatics. But he was not in pain, or he was not sad. You could see a happiness on his face. I mean, that was something very amazing for me. That was my first encounter to somebody who was directly persecuted. And I was going to meet somebody as a asking the partner to pray, to encourage. I was going to encourage him. And when I saw his face, I myself was encouraged. What a man he is. He is beaten badly, but he is smiling. When we came out of the house, we saw that people were staring at us. All the eyes around those place, those colony, they were looking at us as if we have done something very big mistake. So we started walking fast, came to the car. We saw the car, it was completely, you know, colored with the spit that people in India eat pan. So they spit over our car. They made it as dirty as they could. We could immediately understand that situation is, it could become worse here. I was scared, and my heart started throbbing, pumping, and I was scared. I don't know what to do. As we crossed the gully, we saw that around 15-20 boys were standing in their bikes, and they were looking to us, and they were not giving us way out. People started chasing us, all the young boys. They wanted to stop us and beat us, and they chased that around 10 kilometers. And all these 10 kilometers, our prayer was, Lord, please be with us. Yes, Christian life is a life of risk, you know. Even if you don't live in a country with fanatics. But if you live with Christ, your Christianity can put you in trouble. The most suffering church in India is house church, because they are isolated, they can be easily targeted, they are not united, they are scattered here and there. So if you want to pray for India, pray for this house church movement, because they are the easiest victims of persecution. The prayer is the core. It's the center, epic. You know, when you don't know anything, just pray. When you don't understand anything, pray. You will understand. When you don't know, pray. In midst of persecution, churches are growing more. And so I would say, yes, through the persecution, God is making the church grow. And it is joy to serve the persecuted church, because when you serve the persecuted church, you actually serve the Lord.
India is a country of 1.3 billion people. There are 66.1 million Christians. The main religion is Hinduism, and the prime minister and leader of the country is Narendra Modi. Christians in India face violence from extremists. Thousands of attacks take place each year. Several states in India have adopted anti-conversion laws, and the ruling Hindu Nationalist Party has made it clear that it wants to impose these laws nationwide. Such laws are often used as an excuse to disrupt church services and harass Christians and make it incredibly difficult for Christians to share their faith with others. Converts to Christianity from a Hindu background are especially vulnerable to persecution and are constantly under pressure to return to Hinduism. They are often physically assaulted and even sometimes lose their life. We want to ask you to stop and pray in your home as a family for the persecuted church in India. If you're home alone, then pray out loud to the Lord. Take a couple of minutes to do that, and we'll join you again.
Hi, my name is Hami. I live in Iran, where it's dangerous to follow Jesus. My parents are Christians, but in secret. We go to church at Pastor Malad's house. I love Pastor Malad. Every week, he tells us all about Jesus, how he died for everyone and wants people to be friends with God. One day, we were on our way to church when we saw Pastor Malad being taken away in a police car. When we got home, Mama explained.
Pastor Malad has been arrested and now he's in jail.
Why?
For teaching us about Jesus and how much Jesus loves us.
So Pastor Malad went to jail for us? Why would he do that?
Because Pastor Malad follows Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he died to save us. And Pastor Malad was so full of Jesus' love, he chose to share it with us, even though he knew he could go to prison for it.
What will happen to Pastor Malad?
I don't know, but with Jesus, there is always hope. I know you're worried about Pastor Malad, but Jesus tells us we can trust him instead of worrying. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Should we pray for Pastor Malad?
Stories like this are common in places where it is dangerous to follow Jesus. But Jesus promises he will never leave his people, no matter where they live. And today, you can send a message of encouragement to Christian children from Iran.
Iran is a country of 82.8 million people. There are an estimated 800,000 Christians. The main religion is Islam, and the president is President Hassan Rouhani. Wondering what life is like for a Christian in Iran? It is hard. In the last year, there have been at least 169 arrests of Christians. Many Iranian believers have been sentenced to a long time in jail. Others are still waiting in jail just to have their day in court. As they wait, their families continue to be made fun of in public and harassed. House churches are routinely discovered by the government and can no longer be a meeting place for Christians. Secret Iranian police continue to inform parents of young women found attending house church services, stating that the women were found mixing with men inappropriately. Shaming unmarried women is an effective way to stain their reputation and harm their social status in the community. So now we want to ask you to take a minute and pray for children like Milan who live in Iran and grow up facing punishment for following Jesus. Pray silently wherever you happen to be right now. Pray that the people following Jesus would continue to have the boldness to share their faith. Pray that the seeds of the good news about Jesus would grow and more people would come to know Jesus in Iran.
بلشوا يسقطوا القذايف على البلد وعلى البيوت، فبتذكر أول شغلة عملناها لحتى يعني ما أنه فكرنا أنه بحالنا، بعد أنا وزوجتي أخذت نزلت ورحنا حتى نشتري خبز، لأنه حبيت يكون حتى أخذت كثير من أكياس الخبز لحتى أقدر نساعد الناس اللي ما عندهم. ثاني يوم عملنا مباشرة في عنا يعني عملنا اجتماع للصلاة وبلشنا نصلي من أجل القامشلي. بالرغم من أنه كان في قذائف، بالرغم كان في خطر، لكن ما وقفنا عن الصلاة من أجل البلد. فياريت فإذا ممكن نصلي من أجل الناس. والناس حاليا عايشة بحالة فقر كتير كبير، لأنه كتير مرات أنا بمشي بالشوارع بشوف كتير من الأولاد أو حتى الرجال عم بياخدوا من الزبالة، حاويات الزبالة، أكل لياخدون للبيت. طبعا نحن لما قدمنا المساعدة لكل الناس من كل من كل الأديان، سواء مسلمين أو مسيحيين أو كل العرقيات، فأنا إذا بدي أوصل محبة الله لألهم ما فيني أنا أسكر عيوني عن احتياجات هدول الناس. لأنه صار حالات الاحتياج كتير كبيرة، سواء كان للأكل أو للتعليم أو للطبابة للمرض. فلهيك نحن بنشكركم، لانه عم بيخلوا الناس تبقى ما تسافر ما تهاجر خارج سوريا. فبنتمنى انه يستمر الدعم، ويا ريت يكون بشكل شوي اكبر، لانه الحرب ما انتهت، سواء كانت عسكريه او حتى سياسيا او حصار اقتصادي. ونصلي من اجل انه ملكوت الله يمتد في سوريا.
Syria is a country of 18.4 million people. There are an estimated 744,000 Christians. The leader of Syria is President Bashar al-Assad. The country's year-long civil war has left it in turmoil, and Christians have not been spared from that suffering. Christians are caught in the crossfire between government troops and rebel forces, especially at the front lines. Additionally, Christians are at risk if forces antagonistic to Christianity rule their home regions. Even in more secure parts of Syria, Christians who have converted from Islam face pressure and discrimination from their communities. We want to stop now and pray together for the people of Syria. Father God, we come to you, and Father, we lift up our brothers and our sisters in Syria. God, we pray that they would have boldness. We pray that they would have endurance. We pray that they would have supernatural strength to press on, even in the midst of the oppression that they face from war and from those that want to do harm to Christ followers. We pray for those that they know, those living in their neighborhoods, those that they are loving who don't know Jesus, that truly that they would have dreams and see Jesus in their dreams and come to know him. Father, we pray for lives to be transformed. We know it is through the power of your Holy Spirit that our brothers and our sisters in Syria can stand for the gospel. I pray that our hearts would be receptive to learn and to listen to our brothers and sisters in Syria, to learn from them of how they find hope in Jesus, even in the midst of some of the most difficult circumstances around the world. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
China is a beautiful country. We're right here near the Forbidden City, and I can tell you the history and innovation of this place is beyond imagination. There is a rich cultural identity that you can almost feel in the wall, and it ripples through the countryside, and you sense it in the streets of Beijing. Modern China is a place of incredible technology, as you can see around me. It is amazing. And the size as well, with 1.4 billion people, is hard to imagine.
From its history to its culture to its beauty, China has so much to offer the world. But something else has jumped out at me as I've been here.
I'm being watched. China has the sophistication and technology to monitor its population like no country before it. It feels like these eyes are always accusing. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you saying? And who do you worship?
In China, what's happened over the last 5 years seems unthinkable. Pastors can be arrested if they don't allow surveillance cameras in their sanctuaries. Authorities can shut down churches at any time. The pressure is growing.
If you are a Christian, it's okay. But if you attend your Sunday service in other location which is not registered or unapproved, then your meeting is illegal.
The increasing religious restriction in recent years, it really tests the church in China. I still remember like 5 years ago, we heard about China government, they started pulling down of crosses from the rooftop of the church buildings.
The persecution here in China is not what it once was 30 years ago. It's not pastors being held in prison for decades or being beaten and dragged out of their churches. It's a very sophisticated and subtle persecution, a squeeze on the freedom of the church in China.
I know a friend, he's a young pastor shepherding a church, and over the past maybe 5 years, this church was growing. And just earlier this year, he told me, if we disagree to register under the government, then my church would be outlawed. The government officials will come today, so please keep praying for us. And then at the end of the day, this friend told me, we have been outlawed.
Despite the pressure, despite the surveillance, God is still doing incredible things.
I know a church in the central part of China. Several years ago, the church will want to move the cross from their church. So they said, we shouldn't fight with the authorities, but we kneel down and pray. God will do his work. And I can tell you, nowadays, the cross is still on top of the church.
And Christians in China are trusting God through the pressure, praying that God will use persecution to purify his people.
The response of people, most of the people, is really encouragement, because you can see what you really believe in God or something else.
Does prayer encourage the Chinese church?
I think so, because the prayer is so crucial and important.
We have a responsibility to help our brothers and sisters know they aren't alone. China may be number 23 on the 2020 World Watch List, but the believers there are part of our church, part of our family.
I'm leaving China with a renewed commitment to the church here. Will you join me in that commitment? Will you see the story of the persecuted church in China and commit to praying and taking action in 2020?
China is a country of 1.4 billion people. There are an estimated 97.2 million Christians. The main religion is agnosticism. The leader is President Xi Jinping. The situation for Christians has deteriorated all over China. There's a steady drip of pressure where the government increases surveillance, control, and restriction of believers. New restrictions on internet, social media, non-governmental organizations, and the 2018 regulations on religion are strictly applied. The pressure to fall in line with the prevailing ideology of praising the achievements of the Communist Party has become much stronger and possesses arguably one of the greatest risks for Christians in the long term. It used to be said that the government would crack down on churches perceived as too large, too political, or too connected to foreign interest. Today, that is only a guideline. Many churches are being monitored and closed down, not only independent house churches, but also some government-sanctioned churches. The government even banned the online sale of Bibles in 2018. China rose 4 spots on the 2020 World Watch List, mostly because of the continuing and intensifying emphasis on ideology and the overarching goal of preserving the rule of the Communist Party. Religion is banned from the public sphere, and teachers and medical staff had even been pressured to sign documents saying they have no religious faith. In some areas, elderly people have been told that their pensions will be cut if they don't renounce their Christian faith. Additionally, the decision to follow Jesus comes at a high cost for Christians in Western China, who come from ethnic groups where Islam or Buddhism are the dominant faith, as they will be completely cut off from family. As well, millions of innocent people called Uyghurs in Western China are being arrested and transported to prisons that can be described as concentration camps. The government refers to the maximum security facilities as re-education camps. If you are part of the Christian minority in this region, not only do you have to face being disowned by your family, you also risk being put into one of the forced labor camps. This government has created these camps to eliminate loyalty to religion or family amongst the Uyghurs. The only loyalty the Chinese government wants is loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party. In the coming years, we believe you will continue to see the level of religious persecution rise within China. That is why it is critical that we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. As 1 Corinthians 15:58 states, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The work of the church persecuted and non-persecuted is never in vain. Will you pray with me right now for our brothers and sisters in China? Father, we come to you and we pray for our brothers and our sisters in China who are facing increased pressure and persecution that is growing, something that they've known for many, many decades, Father. But we pray in the midst of this that your church, God, the gospel would multiply rather than cease or become smaller as this government and this human ruler wants. God, we pray that it would multiply through the power of your Holy Spirit. As the persecution increases, that the gospel would be multiplied. We pray for endurance for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for boldness. We pray for memorization of the word so that they can depend on the word of God when Bibles are taken from them. Father, we pray that you would be their comfort. And we pray that in the midst of our circumstances, we would learn from them about finding hope in Jesus in the midst of difficult circumstances. Father, we thank you for all that you have provided, God, for how you provided for our brothers and sisters around the world, for how you provided for us right here in Tyler, Texas. You provided for us to be a part, an extension of your ministry to the world, God, you reaching the world. And so for that, we say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing, Father, and to give to what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for being part of Praying for the Persecuted Church. If you want to continue praying for the persecuted church, I encourage you to download the Open Doors app in the App Store. There are instructions on your screen where you can find out more about that app. I encourage you to stand with us today for the persecuted church around the world.
Grander earth is quake before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Far be it from me. Through it all, through It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. Let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name.
Thank you for being with us today. If you have any questions or prayer requests, just let us know. See you next week.